You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And welcome, everybody, to today's exciting episode.
Hello, Governor. Happy birthday. I heard you're 77. Do you want a postcard?
That certainly is a random Josh intro.
Whatever came to mind, mate. Yeah. That's the first thing. You know, I literally had seconds to think of it, and it just came straight out of the dome. So
fair play. That's often the best way.
Yeah, I quite like a kind of cheesy English, old English.
Cockney.
Yeah, I like that. It's a good... Yeah, there's so much you can do with it.
There is, yeah. I'm surprised you don't go back to your roots and go all native Mississippian. Is that a thing? Mississippian?
Mississippian. What were you talking...
You driving around in that vehicle?
We're talking about kissing my cousin in a pickup truck? That kind of thing.
Yeah, maybe not kissing your cousin.
No.
Maybe back in the 80s that was all right. But today, in today's society, mate, you know, tone it down.
Yeah, one thing I won't say ever is tomato. It doesn't sound right.
You never do. No, you say it the American way, but with a very English accent.
Yeah. Tomato.
Tomato.
Yeah, that's weird. Tomato don't sound right to me.
No.
But that's just me. There's other Americanisms, like elevator. I never say lift. Lift doesn't sound right to me. I always say elevator. So.
Elevator. Yeah. Elevate yourself.
Yeah, that's the one. But
I'll tell you, that actually ties in nicely with today's episode. Because I found
elevators?
I found us a guest.
Oh.
And this guest, you might say, has been elevated to heights that no one else has been to.
Oh.
I have actually managed to find Neil Armstrong.
What? Neil Armstrong?
The Neil Armstrong.
No way.
Yeah.
The guy that did it for mankind?
Yeah. And he's not dead. Honestly, no. He's not, because he's on today.
Oh, okay. Can I meet him?
Yeah, let's meet him. Say hello, Neil Armstrong.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
That's Neil Armstrong. That's me.
You're looking good for 99.
Okay, I might have pulled the wool over your eyes. It's not the Neil Armstrong that went to the moon. This is a different Neil Armstrong, a genuine Neil Armstrong. Do you want to tell us who you are and why you're here, Neil?
Okie dokie. Neil Armstrong, you've heard of me. I am a publisher and I have a new magazine out for the paranormal, or people that are interested in paranormal and supernatural, called Enigmazine. And that's on sale in the UK in supermarkets and WH Smith and news agents and that sort of stuff. And nice. Also, I've got a website, enigmazine.com, where it's available there as a subscription, or you can buy back issues and stuff like that.
That's nice. Awesome. I do like a paranormal magazine. Do you like a paranormal magazine?
I love magazines in general.
Yeah?
Yeah, I used to have magazines when I was a kid. So starting off with Spider-Man, X-Men, comics, right. Things like that.
It's a bit of a difference.
No, and then it went into magazines on art, tattoo magazines as well.
Top Shelf.
No. I had to think. Well, I thought you were going to say Top Gear for a second. Then, no, none of that. Did find one in a bush once, though. But yeah, no, I'm a big fan of magazines, so I like it. Can I ask how you came up with the name Enigmazine? Because it's very unique. I like it.
Yeah, well, that's what we were trying to do, is come up with some unique name that would give across the idea of the sort of stuff that we would talk about, but wouldn't be too specific so that not to exclude mysterious stuff. So, you know, the original vision is that Enigmazine is about anything that's unknown or mysterious. So it's not just about paranormal or supernatural. It's about there's some alien stuff. There's anything that's unexplained. I'd like to, in future editions, look at some unsolved crime and other stuff that's, you know, mysterious and as yet unknown and, you know, interesting to read. Because I think if you're looking at stuff which has a lot of possibilities, if you've got an open mind to it, it's an interesting thing to look at.
Yeah, and it's just made me realise that we missed a trick there when we named our podcast, because we named it Paranormality, and we quite often talk about stuff that isn't necessarily paranormal. We should have gone with Enigmality.
That doesn't have the right ring to it. No, Neil beat us to it. And
yeah, fair and square.
Yeah.
Well, the other reason that I was trying to do that as well is essentially build a brand that can be something which straddles all of these different things, so that it's almost like a gateway drug to the paranoid. So you might get into, you know, you might start a little bit of ghosty stuff over here. You might be eyeing up some little alien stuff over there. Then you buy a magazine and you find like there's a whole other world of stuff that you didn't really think about, like some time travel or some mind mysteries or stuff like that. And I think if you're a free thinker, kind of open-minded, curious person, then that type of magazine is something that you would pick up and read. So for me, I am that type of person. And when I go to go to the airport, I go into WH Smith at the airport and I look at the magazines, I think, what am I going to buy for the flight? And it's all a bit samey and a bit uninteresting, because you want to get into something which is like intriguing. And I think there's been a gap there.
Yeah, so it has.
And trying to put something together that's you covering a lot of different subjects, but can cover lots of other different subjects, as long as they're unknown and mysterious and kind of, you know, you can then go with trends and what's of interest. And
it broadens the reach, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's a very good thing to do right from the outset, is not to corner yourself into like too niche a market, particularly with magazines, because obviously different people get into these things for different reasons. We find that people find our podcast by, you know, looking up a certain subject that we may have done an episode on, and then they start following the podcast just because they were interested in Ong's hat, which was, you know, it's almost a creepy pattern. It was an ARG, wasn't it? Not really paranormal, but people they enjoyed our episode on it, and they find a little bit more. It's the same with the magazine. They might pick it up because the headline is something that they're particularly interested in. They have a little flick through and they find a few more articles, and it opens up their minds, and they read a bit more.
Yeah, that's the idea, and obviously what I have done in the past is I've been in publishing for many years, probably since 1992, I think. Mm-hmm. In the mid-90s, I was part of a team. I used to work for a publisher called Paragon Publishing, and they launched a magazine called Encounters. And that was kind of a game-changing magazine at the time. It then became Alien Encounters, and then at a later stage, it was Uri Geller's Encounters. And then as soon as he got involved, the sales dropped off. But that was long after my time. I was kind of a launch editor of it with the guy whose idea it was to do, which is a guy called Richard Forsyth. And then we launched that, and it was amazing. But these were different times. I mean, mid-90s, we had this Encounters magazine. The first issue, I think, had like alien autopsy pictures that kind of story was breaking. Yeah. And it sold something like 80,000 copies. I think we had to do a reprint in the middle of the month.
Fair play.
That's
pretty
good. 120,000 copies or something. So it was ridiculous kind of success. But it was because there was an explosion of interest at the time in the alien autopsy stuff. And I think, you know, recently, I think it could be down to some of the uncanny stuff, or it could be down to some of the rise of kind of really good podcasts about subjects and things. There's a lot of online stuff and YouTube stuff and some really good channels, and all of this content is really come through again. And if you look at the numbers, you can see the amounts of people that are following some of these pages and some of these social media accounts that are talking about some of these subjects, you think, wow, you know, maybe it's not as niche as it used to be. Mm-hmm. And again, that's why we wanted with Enigmazine to kind of put our arms around all of the niche stuff and bring it all into one place to be, you know, an entry point into the unknown. Paranormal, supernatural, but you know, hopefully, if you're interested in, I don't know, in steampunk stuff, we'll hopefully have some of that. It's a mystery to me. So as long as it's mysterious and kind of interesting, you know, I think the subculture is a part of it, and I think, you know, you've got even gothic culture and all of that sort of stuff. It's all wrapped up in elements of the paranormal, the supernatural, the unknown. And I think if you're into one of them, you might be interested in more of them. Mm. And if you're that way inclined, you're going to be more open-minded than closed-minded. It's kind of like the old believer and skeptic stuff.
If you
either have an open mind or you're a believer, I think you're more likely to explore more of the unknown and be interested in it. If you're closed off to it and a bit more skeptical, you might not be.
Mm.
But then if you're a bit more skeptical and a bit more closed off to things that you don't that aren't scientific or you can't understand, then there's plenty of other outlets and plenty of other magazines you can go and buy Time magazine and
So in your early career, and obviously you've been in publishing for quite a long time, was it mostly sort of the paranormal magazines that you were more working for, or have you done all sorts?
No, it was started off really that same company. We used to do games magazines. It was awesome. You know, we used to get paid for playing games.
Oh, awesome. That is the dream.
And busting them wide open, as we used to say. I'm going to bust that game. So we would do full solutions to games and stuff, you know. So we'd sit there and we'd get, you know, pre-production games, and we'd have to, you know, we'd have to work out how to defeat the game and then write about them before the game came out.
Patrick Moore, wasn't it, that was Games Master with his monocle? And
Games Master, yes. Yeah, I was on that once.
Oh, wow. Were you?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, weird memory. There was a Sky one as well, which was, I can't remember what that was called, but it was on Sky One. I was on that a couple of times as well. Playing games.
Nice. Yeah.
So, presumably, Enigma Zine is your brainchild then. You're the guy that founded it and organised it?
Yes. It was kind of like an Emmett Brown kind of moment. I've knocked my head on the toilet and dreamt to the Enigma Zine as my flux capacitor. So I saw this vision of a world that had people that were interested in this stuff in it, and I couldn't see there being a really good, because I went and looked straight away at what had kind of happened in that since the sort of mid-90s when we did Encounters till now, what has happened. And really all that's happened is 40 and Times keep going, Haunted Magazine keeps going, but they are, and they're both those magazines are well written, they've got good teams, and obviously an audience that keeps subscribing and keeps buying into it, and there's always something, or there should always be something new and interesting to talk about in this unknown arena. But I can't really see a hell of a lot else out there. And actually, even in news, if you go to a news agents, there isn't even a section really for paranormal. I mean, where do you put these things,
Yeah.
They end up next to magazines about horoscopes or sci-fi, so they're between, I suppose they are. Enigma Zine's between horoscopes and science fiction.
yeah.
It's probably about the place we can put it. But there's no, there's no section for stuff which is not mainstream or is not already in the mainstream. But I think that paranormal and supernatural interest is there with most people. So if most people have an aspect of it, even if it's like, people have had deja vus. I mean, the one thing that most people have had is they've experienced a deja vu and they don't understand it.
That
could be paranormal, it could be mind, it could be, it's mysterious, certainly. We still don't really understand what happens when we feel like we've experienced something before. So if that's a starting point that everybody kind of has at some point, and then some people experience ghosts and some people experience, aliens, and some people, go walking in the woods and see an animal that they've never seen before that's running faster than animals can run or whatever.
Skinwalker.
It's all sort of mysterious and it's all interesting. And I think if we close our minds to the possibilities, then, we might as well give up.
I was reading through your magazine, or the digital version, the online version earlier, and obviously I'm a massive space geek anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Josh knows that.
Nerd.
Yeah. And one of the articles was the possibility of ancient life on Mars.
Yes.
And I was reading through that, and it was very, very good article. I was interested in it. I may disagree with one or two points, but I won't go into that right now. I just wondered, I don't know if you wrote the article yourself. One thing that I don't know if it's in the paper copy, but online, it doesn't seem to credit the actual author of each article. So I didn't know if you'd actually wrote it yourself. But have you seen the pictures that have been unearthed recently of what potentially looks like an archaeological site on Mars?
Yes.
A big square, looks like the foundations of a building, with maybe an antechamber coming off.
Yeah, I've seen those, and I've seen there's lots of things that look like they could be structures, or where structures used to be, or foundations, or particular shapes that don't seem to appear natural.
Like perfect square is not natural in on any planet really, and like you say, if life was extinguished there millions of years, at 1 million, 2 million, 60 million years ago, I mean, they've been talking about like pyramids on Mars. We covered pyramids on Mars in one of our episodes. Now, if that was millions of years ago, that pyramid would not be there. The best you could hope to find is some kind of foundations.
Yeah.
So I think there's some plausibility to that.
Mm-hmm. I think so too. I mean, I was reading the other day, it's a bit wider than that, about, I was reading, there was a guy who was talking about the Big Bang not being the beginning, but being the end of something. So if the Big Bang was the end of something that existed before.
Oh, that's an interesting theory.
Yeah, I forget the guy's name now, but I know exactly who you're talking about.
I can't remember his name either. It was really interesting read. And just looking at it and thinking, well, you know, we've no idea where we are in terms of time. For instance, time, we made time up anyway, didn't we? It's a man-made concept. It's worked on mathematics and you know, astronomy and all sorts of other things. There's a science to it, but we mathematically describe time. We don't know what time is. We've no clue, really, and not even Einstein in his theory of relativity and all the rest of it can replicate a lot of things which we see in the kind of real world. So you think, well, if we know a little bit. It's a bit like you know a little bit and you think you know everything. Well, we only know a tiny bit. So why would there not? Why would we think that we're the first people to have lived here? Why would
exactly? Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean that Mars thing that you refer to. I mean, one of the theories on that is that the escape pod from Mars carrying pretty much Adam and Eve. Crashed, and then that put pay to the dinosaurs. I mean, that's all, you know, it's probably way out there.
It's theoretical, but that I'm not sure if I.
But you know, that's what we're trying to do is kind of present these theories and present these subjects so that people can look into them and have their own thoughts and make up their own mind and maybe go and look at some other stuff. So, you know, I'm not saying that I believe that we all came from Mars, but I'm certainly never going to say that we didn't, because
you wouldn't dismiss it.
I can't dismiss it. So it's kind of like, you know, the glass is half full or it's half empty, right?
Yeah.
For me, the half full approach to life is being open-minded to the possibility that you don't know it all and that there might be stuff that you don't understand that might be real. Whereas I think the glass is half empty approach to it dismisses everything out of hand, and it's harder to then turn that around. It's easy to say no to anything. It's harder to say yes.
Yeah, a lot of the glass is half empty type people. They're always like, well, give me proof, give me proof. Aliens are out there, give me proof. Ghosts exist, give me proof. There's even stuff in science that is science mainstream that really can't be proved. The Big Bang, like as you mentioned before, has never been proved. Now with advancements from James Webb Space Telescope, some really respected scientists like Michio Kaku, quantum physics, rather than general relativity and that sort of thing, but he's come out and said himself that like science has to be rewritten because some of these discoveries that James Webb's made basically disprove that the Big Bang could have happened at 13.8 billion years ago. Dark matter, never been proved. A lot of scientists hold by it, Brian Cox included, you know. Dark energy, never been proved. So when people want proof that ghosts exist and proof that aliens exist, well, prove that science exists first.
Yeah, exactly that. Or you know, religion and proof to any of it. So we kind of live in an existence where, you know, there's very little proof of anything. and what you see in the mainstream media or what you hear in the news or what you might pick up certainly in social medias as well. I mean, there's a lot of conjecture on every subject that you can think of. So I think if you just keep an open mind to the possibility, and I think if you do that, and also it is intriguing and enjoying, I think it's enjoyable pastime really to look at things that are intriguing or mysterious, and that, as I say, that could be, you know, that could be ancient aliens to unsolved crime to the daily Sudoku, I guess, you know. We've got to pass our time on this planet doing something.
I spent half an hour yesterday just watching ghost videos from YouTube, just because why not? I wanted to see if there was any new videos out there. So
that's kind of how this got started in the first place, the podcast, anyway, isn't it? Us watching ghost videos and on our lunch break.
Yeah. I stopped when it got to the ghost child running down the hallway. That was too much for me. I was like, nope, it's bedtime now. It was too scary.
So kids, black-eyed children, black-eyed kids, there's a scary thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have we done an episode of that? I know it's not on the list. No, we haven't done it yet.
in the next issue of Enigma Zine, which is out at the end of Feb, we've got a piece about Cannock Chase, which is a place in Staffordshire near Birmingham, really. And that's like, it's a big forest, and basically they've got a dog man, they've got. So they've got black-eyed kids. They've got UFO sightings. It's
a hot spot then, yeah.
Yeah, it's a hot spot, and there's quite a lot of them about. I must just tell you this, actually. There's again, this will be in the second issue, but in the first issue, we're reaching out online and in the magazine, and we're reaching out to people and saying to readers, you know, give us your stories. And we've got an email address, which is readers@enigmazine.com, for people to send in their testimonies, basically their witness stories that they've not told. Or
have you had many takers?
Yeah, loads, absolutely inundated. And some of them some of them are a bit trite, some of them are really good, some of them are they're all true. And the reason that they're all true is because the person is telling their truth. This has happened to them. What it is, we don't know, but what it is their truth. And I've got to tell you about this, because I got an email just a few days ago from this guy in Wiltshire, and this is going in the second edition. But he's had a Bigfoot experience in Wiltshire, in a forest in Wiltshire.
His name wasn't Mike Pudlow-Umley, was it? He wrote a book on Bigfoot. We had him on the podcast last year.
Okay, no, this guy is he's like a soldier, 6'2" soldier. He's out in the one of the forests, I would tell you which, in Wiltshire, and he's caught sight of this. Well, it sounds like a kind of large orangutan.
Oh,
and he's chased it for, you know, through the woods for a few years, and it's just completely outstripped him. He can't keep up with it. And
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's a gripping tale when you you can read that in the
incredible
second issue.
Story.
But, you know, for me, that's interesting because someone from just up the road, I mean, I'm in Dorset, this guy's in Wiltshire, and he's had some sort of cryptid experience. And yeah, there's no other talk of anything around. Well, I can't find anything of anybody else that's seen anything in this particular area. And yeah, he's, you know, that, to me, that's an interesting testimony that he's offered. And
it is. Well, I hope you get plenty of stories from your readers. I guess it's probably different with magazines. You probably get a bit more success at that sort of thing, because we ask all the time for people to write into the podcast with their scary stories, and they never do. But I think a podcast is a different dynamic. People tend to listen to it when they're on their way to work, or, you know, while they're doing the housework, something like that. Whereas with a magazine, you've got to put aside some time to sit down and read a magazine, so you're going to be more willing to engage with it. So, yeah, I hope you get more reader stories. Could I write an article for your magazine?
Of course you could.
That would be awesome.
Of course you could. Anybody's welcome to put stuff forward. With the readers' stories, what we're looking for is their ghost stories, or their you know, their strange tale of seeing lights in the sky, or something strange in the woods. Or,
well, last week on the podcast, we possibly got in contact with aliens. I could write about my experience with that.
Well, you could, and we'd be very, I'm sure, as a readership, we'd be very interested to read that. Of course we would.
Yeah.
At enigmazine.com.
Nice. Have you personally had anything spooky, weird, anything happen to you?
Oh God, yeah.
So we don't want to ruin your article if you're planning on writing that, but, you know, yeah, anything that you want to share.
I've just before coming on to this podcast, I was just putting the finishing touches to my poltergeist story.
Ooh.
I was a kid, and just writing it, and it just looking at the images of the house that it happened in has scared out of me. You know, this happened to me when I was like 5 or 6, and I can remember it as if it was yesterday. I won't give away all the details because I've got it in the next issue, but I have had a poltergeist experience. But what I did write about in issue 1,
yeah, nice.
Oh, that's a lovely front cover.
In issue 1, there's a story about which is there I am, which is a true story. I've got an article here about deathbed visions and dead relatives and deathbed visions and crisis apparitions. Okay.
Yeah.
Explain what it is, but I have had an experience, and I've written about it then, because the reason I've written about it, apart from the fact that it is linked to the article, is that it happened just a few years ago. So it hasn't got that childlike quality to it, which my poltergeist story happened when I was 5. I've seen some other things when I was a kid. I've seen a couple of ghosts and a couple of things that I can't explain. But I was like, you know, I think the oldest I ever was in any of those was probably 13, 14.
Okay, yeah.
But this one was happened to me just during COVID. It was the COVID summer of 2021, I think. 2020, maybe. It was 20 or 21, I can't remember now. But I had had an infection, a UTI, they're called. And it's the first infection I've ever had in my life. And it caused kind of shivery convulsions and things like that. Anyway, I went to the doctors and got some antibiotics and took the full course of antibiotics and got better. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
So then we went on, like, it was the COVID. So we kind of, me and my wife and my daughter, we went off. I think we did Whitby and Liverpool and Bath. You know, we did this sort of UK stuff. And then we came back down to Dorset after, you know, 10 days on the road doing bits and bobs. And we went down to the beach. We got ourselves down there early, down at Studland in the south coast of the UK. And we got down there early and camped ourselves, you know, get the windbreak out, little tent for the daughter, because she's a bit of a vampire, doesn't like the sun.
That's fair.
You know, she's tucked away. Anyway, we were there and we were down there early, and it was a blistering hot day. And then my wife and my daughter had gone for a swim, and suddenly I started to feel ill again. And I'd started to feel ill like I had three weeks ago when I had this infection. And it was really weird because you get this uncontrollable shiver, which is your body fighting off the infection. And I thought, wow, this is a bit weird. And at that point, just around the windbreak, my grandmother turned up and my uncle, which was lovely. However, my grandmother had died in 1991, and my uncle that was with her died in 1986. But they came around the windbreak and came over to me. And they weren't, you know, I was aware of who they were. They weren't shimmery. They weren't see-through. They were just like
solid people.
Solid people that are walking. And my nana spoke, my grandmother, that is, my nana spoke to me and basically said, "You've got something wrong with you. You need to get medical help."
Fair play.
It was weird because it was lovely to see. I mean, I loved my nana. It was lovely to see her, even though she had been dead for about 20 odd years. You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, the message that she gave me was seek medical attention. I was in discomfort and I was feeling weird, but I wasn't in any sort of pain or anything.
Were you in potentially a life threatening situation that you weren't aware of?
Yes, as it turned out, I was. Yeah. So when my wife and daughter came back from their swim, I didn't say, "Look, me dead grandmother's just been to visit me. I think you know, get me to a hospital quickly." I said, "Look, I'm feeling really, really unwell, and I really don't know what's wrong with me. But I need to get out of the sun. Is there any way we can, you know, get back home?" So we did. We sort of packed up, and I mean, you know, it took me the car was about 100 yards away from where we were. It took me 20 minutes to get there. I was taking two or three steps, and then I had to stop. I couldn't go any further. You know, I was really ill. We got back home, and my wife rang NHS 111. We got some advice. They asked us some questions. I answered them. They sent out an ambulance. The ambulance came. The paramedics did all sorts of tests on me, and then said, "Okay, well, you know, we're gonna get you to hospital." I was like, "Okay." And while they were doing the tests, one of them has said to the other, "It looks like there's some of the," what was the phrase they used? It was something like, he's got some of the signs of, and I didn't quite hear what they said, but as they took me into the ambulance, there was a big sign on the side of the ambulance which said sepsis, the silent killer.
Ah, yes.
Right? And I said, well, he got me into the ambulance and started to hook me up to fluids and stuff. And I said, you don't think I've got sepsis, do you? And he said, no, I don't. I know you've got sepsis.
Right.
To hospital as soon as we can. And within 10 minutes, I was in intensive care. And whoa. And 6 days in hospital. Apparently, I had something like about 2 to 3 hours to live.
Wow.
Jeez.
And if I'd have done what I was planning on doing, which is just bash on through, come back home and sleep it off, to catch a popular phrase, I'd have woken up dead, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Enigmazine would never have started.
Exactly. So that was the vision, you know. At 6 days in hospital, I got sepsis, which is blood poisoning. There's no pain with it. You don't know you've got it. The only indication is that you might get a quite high temperature.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, I didn't know that because it was the hottest day of the year.
Yeah.
It was probable that I had a temperature of around about 110. So you will hallucinate.
Yeah.
Which is okay. So even though I've experienced this and what I've told you is absolutely a true story, what I can't say to you is that I was absolutely visited by my dead grandmother's ghost. Mm. I can't say that to you. What I can say to you is that's what I saw, and it may be that my brain, my subconscious brain, knew that I was in trouble, but my conscious brain doesn't know because I'm in no pain and there's no symptoms.
Mm.
So because of the temperature, my subconscious brain invented a hallucination to book my ideas up.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe. I think I'm going to err on the side of genuine, to be honest, because I've heard many reports of people's deceased relatives coming to see them and to guide them when they're on their deathbed. It happened to my mum. My mum died before we started this podcast, but when she was literally on her deathbed, the day she died, I remember my sister telling me she'd been in to visit. We were all there to visit, but we were only allowed in like two at a time because of COVID and whatnot. And while my sister had been in the room with her, Mum had sort of stirred conscious most of the time. She was unconscious. And she said to my sister Mandy, she said, oh, something must be wrong. And I went, what was that, Mum? She went, well, maybe Mabel isn't here yet. But everyone else is. Now, Mabel's my dead grandmother. She died in like 1988.
Yeah.
But my mum was absolutely certain that she was going to arrive to help her through to the other side, you know, because she said everyone else. I don't know who she was referring to as everyone else, but she seemed to think that the room was full of people.
So that, I mean, that sounds believable. Absolutely, 100%. That sounds believable to me as well. I mean, that my grandmother that I was just telling you about there, she had the gift, I guess. She was the 11th of 11 children. She would tell us, I remember when I was a kid going down to we had had a telephone. She used to live down the road from us. We'd had a telephone call to say that a relative had died. And I was on my way. I had to go to my nana's anyway. So I said, okay, well, I'll tell her. I went to my grandmother's and she told me. She didn't have a telephone. She had no visitors. She said, oh, you'll... I went into her flat and she said, oh, you'll never guess who I had in my room today. I said, who's that then? And then she told me about who she'd had in, who was the person that had died. And she said, yeah, they just died, and they died of this, and they died of... So she told me what I was going down there to tell her. And, oh, she, and this was the same person that came around the corner in that on the beach to tell me that there was something wrong and that I needed to get some help.
So she had the gift.
Yeah, okay. She had the gift. She did have the gift. Now, you know, as I say, what I know is that the vision of my dead relatives helped me, and I wouldn't be alive today had it not happened, because I would have just come home and gone, look, I feel dreadful, I'm going to go to bed. That's my answer to everything. So I love sleep, me. Right, you know, I'm going to bed. And as I say, I'd have woken up dead. So however it's happened, be that proper paranormal, be that the brain and the temperature and the circumstances creating a vision to tell me, or maybe another reason. There may be other reasons. Whatever the reason, I can't 100% guarantee which one it is, but what I can 100% guarantee is that what I've described happened. The net result is I'm alive today. So that's what I've written about in that article. And I have had another two or three kind of, you know, unexplained or paranormal things that have happened to me in my life. But a lot of them were when I was young and maybe more susceptible to other things. You know, we all know that children kind of seem to be more attuned to other vibrations. I think when we're all young, we've got something which we lose a bit when we get older, which is that kind of tuning in ability. I was reading something that might be because of past lives, which is also a really interesting subject. You know, people that maybe we all just get reborn, and while we're wailing and screaming in agony as babies, because and people go, oh well, you know, here's some food, maybe we're all thinking, Jesus, let me out of here.
Yeah. I can't do anything anymore.
I was just flying a plane and now I can't move.
How about now, as a man who, I think you said you were 50 now, so
I'm 53 now, aren't I?
53. Cool, you look a lot younger.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
But as a man in his early 50s, how about now? Is there anything that you're not into, or do you like a little bit of sci-fi, bit aliens, ghosts? Are you into everything?
I'm open-minded to everything. I'm very close to religion.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not religious at all, and I'm not, you know, I certainly would not buy into any creational stuff and gods and all that malarkey. Mm-hmm. I'm really interested in, like, ancient alien theory.
Yeah, so do I.
I think some of that stuff is fascinating, and I love history. I mean, I've always loved history. And to me, when you take a deep dive into some of these subjects like aliens, ancient aliens or any, actually, I mean, I've just written a book which has just come out called Ghostly Encounters and Phenomena.
Oh, I don't know if we can promote that one. That's going a step too far.
Yeah, sure. Just another book, available on Amazon or on enigmazine.com. What that is, essentially what I've done there, is it's like 580 pages, and it's the history of ghosts. That's what
Oh, cool.
I've written a history book which says, here are all of the different types of ghosts, or here's 20 different types of ghosts. And here is the history of where those ghosts or the ideas of those ghosts have come from.
So evidence from which all these different types, yeah.
I've researched, you know, I've read a lot and I've researched probably for 3 or 4 years and for some of that without really kind of knowing I was researching it. You know, I've read a lot about it. But basically, you can look at the different ghosts and different paranormal things that occur, and they don't just all occur now. They occurred 10 years ago, they occurred 50 years ago, they occurred 2000 years ago. There's many examples of paranormal in ancient history and in the Egyptians and in Greeks and in Roman history and prehistory. And essentially what I did was just looked at that, broke down the ghosts into their different sectors, as you know. So there's a chapter on poltergeist, there's a chapter on residual ghosts, there's headless ghosts, you know, haunted places, all that sort of thing. But then look at it and tell the history of those sightings, and then throw in a few famous stories of sightings, and then over with stuff like infiltrating or being a member of different forums and things like that, or meeting people and getting stories over the years, have sort of collected a few different ghost stories and put them in as well as testimony.
No, that's pretty interesting. Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
But you can tell because of what we're in, the paranormal, it's a subject like normal. It's just got the word para. You guys call paranormality.
It is a play on words. Yeah.
Yeah, but it says so much more than the clever play on words that it is. And you know, what is normal? And I think, you know, the paranormal has maybe even a deeper and longer history than the normal.
Yeah, the way we figured it is, for some people, like literally just seeing a ghost is an ultimate experience into the paranormal. For other people, it is just normal.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So there's different grades of what you find normal.
It is. It's real to the people that experience it. Uh-huh. And it's of interest to the people who are interested in it. And
yeah.
You know, I think I'd rather look at things like that and things that make you wonder about the bigger picture in life than sort of get caught up in too much of, you know, politics and, you know, that nothing ever changes.
Yeah, yeah, it's always the same. And the same S, different day.
Yeah.
Well, I do wish you all the best with the magazine and yourself. And this episode should probably be coming out at around about the same time as your next issue.
Oh, okay.
So hopefully a whole bunch of people go and pick that one up. Is there a way that you can subscribe via postal service online or anything like that to your magazine?
If you go to enigmazine.com, we've got a shop on there. You can... So if you're in the UK, there's a UK subscription. So that's like 12 issues at a time. So you know, you get your issue through the door every month for the next 12 months.
Excellent.
Or if you're outside of the UK, you can also buy a rest of the world subscription. So we do the same, but post it to you wherever you are in the world. It's usually the last Thursday or something like that of every month that it comes out. So the next one is something like February 26th or 7th or 3rd or
it'll be around then.
I haven't got the dates in front of me.
Is it available at airports already, because I go on holiday in June?
It should be.
If there's a WH Smith there, it should be in there, I guess.
WH Smith have got it, and we're trying to get it. The first one wasn't in all of the travel, but it was in a few of them, but we're trying to get it in most of the travel ones, because I think it's what it's perfect for. It's a dip in and out sort of thing. Gone for a kind of little, like a retro feel. And we've also got, because of the mainstream stuff that I was talking about, we've got film reviews in there. We've got gaming and games reviews. We've got book reviews. We've got all that sort of stuff happening, as well as, you know, stories about ancient aliens or ghost stories and reader stories.
That's cool. A little bit of something for everybody.
Hopefully, yeah.
All inclusive.
And then hopefully everyone, readers, can get involved. We've also got a forum if people want to get involved there. But what I'd like to do is try and, you know, get people, if you've got a story, come and tell it. And if we publish it in the magazine, you get an Enigmazine T-shirt. What could be better than that?
Oh, that'd be nice. I want one of those. I'm definitely writing an article for your magazine now.
There would be one winging its way. That's printed. Cool. You've got, you know, Enigmazine. It's not free advertising. I have to pay for it, Bush. No, it's good stuff, man. Because, you know, I just want Enigmazine, as I say, to be an entry for people that are just, because there must be every day, there must be someone who's just getting into something in the paranormal, or, you know, there's a young kid discovering it, or there's someone, something funny's happened to them, so they think, oh, I wonder if there's a magazine on that. And so there's something in it for them, so we kind of do a deep dive and a broad stroke into these subjects. Hopefully then, for the more experienced paranormal enthusiasts, there's stuff that they'll find interesting in there, even though they know some of it or all of it. And then if we come to the other end where, you know, you've got a ufologist who goes, you don't know what you're talking about, then they can, I invite them to come and write about what they know then. Because
sounds good to me.
If we don't know what we're talking about and you do, come and tell us what you know.
Prove it.
Prove it.
Yeah, prove it. Come and write it, and we'll publish it.
Well, I wish you again all the best of luck with that, and thank you for coming in to speak with us today. It's been a pleasure to have you.
It's been a wonderful experience. I shall treasure it forever.
you say that until you get to the next podcast.
Yeah, and I'll tell them the same. But until honestly, you're my favourite podcast. So far.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, really? Oh, thank you.
So far.
I like your style. I like your style. It's good stuff.
Well, and I like the style of the magazine, and I can't wait to feature in it ourselves. So. Yeah.
You will be in there. Issue 3, no doubt. So we'll have to be in touch about that.
That'll be March, won't it? Yeah. I'll stay in touch, and I'll get you 1,000 words.
Please do.
No problem at all.
Yeah, pleasure to meet you, Neil.
Any images is always good as well. Obviously.
Ah, yes. More evidence.
Yes, any evidence.
Right. Well, that's it for today, folks. If you're interested, go down to your local newsagents, pick yourself up an Enigmazine for yourselves. And until next week, I've been Pirate.
I'm Josh.
And I've been Neil Armstrong.
This has been Paranormality UK. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.